Welcome back to Racing Pulse. Some good news on the COVID front here in Victoria, which came through around about half an hour ago, is that there is only one new acquired case today, locally acquired case, and it is linked to previous positive. So that is brilliant news. 28,000 tests. Of course, we are awaiting official news today that the lockdown will be eased, the restrictions, and that press conference is a little later today. So fingers crossed we get those restrictions eased as expected, and we'll find out what that means for racing moving forward next week as well, when crowds can return to the track and we can participate and enjoy racing and everything we do in life down here in Victoria. But that is great news. Only one case locally acquired, and it is linked. Sadly, it's come too late for those of us who were planning to be up north this weekend for the huge Stradbroke meeting, but we'll be looking on with some envy, but also in awe of what arguably is the biggest race day in Queensland racing's history. $5 million in prize money. Brendan Parnell, the CEO of Queensland Racing, joins us this morning. Good morning, Brendan. How are you?
Good morning, Michael, and to all your listeners. Yeah, feeling for you down there in lockdown, and hopefully those restrictions ease. But really exciting for us this time last year. It was a silent Stradbroke. But this year, as you say, $3 million races and the richest Stradbroke day we've ever run.
Is this the biggest race day in Queensland's racing history, do you think?
Well, from a perspective of black type, absolutely, with a couple of Group 1s and a load of other group races. It's not as rich as the Magic Millions. It'll certainly be rivaled in wagering this year, one would think, to a Magic Millions, but it has to lift a fair way to do that. But we're seeing really strong wagering turnover the last few weeks. Oaks Day last week was around $42 million and up over a third on 2 years ago. The new Derby Day was up over a third on 2 years ago. So it looks good on paper. We've had some rain through overnight, just a light dusting of rain. All is set, though. The stage is set for a ripping grand final day for our TAB Winter Carnival.
And you're happy with the Q22 field? Obviously, we've got the boom horse of Australian racing, Zaki, in there, but he hasn't scared anyone away.
No, it's turned out to be a great field. When we set about designing the carnival 2 years ago, well, really, I suppose, to create an end-of-season weight for age final. We were hoping one or two of the good three-year-olds might stand up from the Oaks or Derby. That hasn't happened. Maybe Zaki scared them away. But what a great field. And over a unique distance, 2,200 metres, and Q being a real tipping our hat to one of the Queensland heritage, formerly the O'Shea Stakes. It's a great field that's been assembled.
That distance, is there any main reason for the 2,200 metres, as you mentioned?
A couple of reasons. One is the limitation on a mile and a quarter at Eagle Farm to get a maximum field size and to attract Derby and Oaks horses to a distance which isn't for the dour three-year-olds or the dour horses. It's going to get the nippier milers to mile and a quarter horses. And we've, as you've seen, we've restarted the Brisbane Cup back at 2 miles for the back to the classic distance, which is exciting. So that's why we landed there. But there's a pattern now that flows in from the Hollandale, the Doomben Cup, into the Q22. And for the Oaks fillies that are a bit more dour, they've got the choice of running in the Derby over 2,400 metres, or if they're a bit nippier, in the Oaks over 2,200 metres. And it segues to the Tats Gold Crown meeting, where there's a new fillies and mares race over 2,100 metres for the first time this year.
Putting the Millions meeting aside, because they are restricted races, the prize money for this meeting on Saturday, $1.5 million for the Stradbroke. You've also got the $1 million Atkins, and then $1.2 million Q22. Is there the focus to, with what you're talking about, increased turnover, to continue to build the prize money at the top level, but also the grassroots level in Queensland?
Yeah, I know it's been a topic of strong debate in Victoria in recent weeks. It's an important one here. Is you need to have good grassroots foundations, because that's the bread and butter earnings for participants. So the last 2 years, we've focused very hard on building stronger midweek and provincial prize money, while at the same end driving new-look carnivals with strategic investments, not running big prize money races like Melbourne Cups and Cox Plates. That's something, until we get our foundational grassroots prize money right, we need to get the balance. And we believe this balance is right. It creates a grand final in winter to go with our grand final in summer. And we think the investments have been demonstrated by the quality of fields we've seen over the last few weeks, particularly during what the Brisbane Racing Club has termed Stradbroke season, which has got a nice ring to it.
Absolutely. And everyone we speak to, we had Tony Golan on before, he said that it's never been better, the build-up, the atmosphere and everything in Queensland. I suppose the one thing that is a constant talking point still is the Eagle Farm track. How, as the CEO of Queensland Racing, do you see the track and its performance this carnival?
Yeah, well, as I've mentioned to you before, Michael, it's one of the modern construction tracks, like Flemington, Sha Tin, Singapore. It's designed on a sand profile to be fast-draining. And we saw that on Guineas Day. There was a torrential downpour within the race meeting. Around an inch of rain fell, and it got back to a 5 and then a 6. But it's designed to cope with heavy rainfall events. A year ago, the turf length was half what it is now. And what we've done in trying to improve cushion, noting that it's still a young grass, is extra verti draining. There's a rye grass that's been sown through and extra top dressing. So it's improved each week. It will generally always, while it's young, race around a good 4. So the rainfall over the past week has been around half an inch. 1.5 mils fell overnight. And around an inch of irrigation has also gone on. So we expect it to be around a good 4 surface. There may be a little more water added on Friday. But the route now is the healthiest it's been. And we expect it to race very fairly, as you've seen in the last few weeks. They're winning from front, back, out wide, up on the rails. So it's a cracking track when it races this way. And with the big fields, most horses will get a great chance.
Because there's been a lot of rumour and innuendo. You can put to bed the fact that it's not going to be redone, the track. It is just continual work to improve the, I suppose, progress of it over time. Is that what will occur?
Yeah, the cushion will continue to improve once as the turf matures. We're only into the third year, and it's a 7-hectare organism. So as it matures and the roots get stronger, the cushion will improve. And remember when Flemington first went down, there was a lot of discussion around its firmness in initial years. And as it matured, it's really become a great track. And this track is starting to come back. But we will sit down with key trainers in the clubs after the carnival and have a look and assess how it's going and if we have to amend any part of the agronomy program to improve it further.
Programming's been a big discussion, a pattern of racing all around Australia. And John Massara now becoming an independent chairman of Racing Australia. What's your viewpoint on racing as a whole and how the pattern and where Queensland sits with that, with the carnivals either side?
Yeah, it's great. We really applaud John taking a step back into the breach as an independent chair of Racing Australia and look forward to his well-regarded leadership, hopefully navigating through a few of the more challenging points and discussions. The pattern has been an important part of that. For instance, most recently is changes to our winter to enhance the fillies and mares program. The pattern committee identified some opportunities which we've seized on. So there's a new 9-furlong two-year-old race on Tats Cup Day. And these new fillies and mares races we've looked to build out last week. The Magic Millions National Classic was a new race over a mile for fillies and mares. The Pam O'Neill over a mile as well. So the pattern's got an important role to play both in providing some guidance to where we can seek new opportunities, but also we've got some races that are due for upgrades, and we look forward to the pattern review formalising those upgrades this calendar year.
Would you like to see the smaller states, Queensland, not as in the size physically, but where it rates in racing? It's dominated by Victoria and New South Wales, especially at the Racing Australia board level with the veto rights. Would you like to see Queensland and other states have a greater say?
I think we'd all like to see progress, Michael, around a range of key issues, and there are some of those. The pattern is one. That we play a role as a very much a complementary carnival provider with our smaller scale spring, for instance. However, summer and winter are very much our domain, and I think it's worked well, and we've created opportunities for horses to develop and grow here. But nationally, I think things like the Patent Committee and getting progress there is important, and other matters which will be up for debate, such as reform of whip use, is another, and there'll be several others with John joining the Racing Australia board, and look forward to engaging with the other states and debating for better outcomes for racing.
Do you have a personal view on the whip? Victoria's made their stance very clear, as has New South Wales. Where does Queensland sit?
I think there is a desire to see reform and reduction in whip use. The rest of the world has led the way. In France, the whip use is capped at 5. In UK and Ireland, it's 6 and 7, or 7 and 8 uses per race. So there's certainly a desire from Queensland's perspective to see a reduction, but also a simplification. The fact that currently the rule allows unlimited use in the last 100 metres, there needs to be robust debate on that. Our our social license is very much linked to having an earnest debate on it. So from Queensland's perspective, reduction is desired, but that should be debated nationally, and we encourage that under John Massara's leadership.
Would you also like a national standard as far as jockey suspensions and appeals are? Because they change from state to state, and we've seen in your carnival there are loopholes which jockeys are using to ensure that they can continue to ride at the biggest days.
Yeah, the loophole is being addressed through the review of the Integrity Act. So that's one thing. But aside from that, penalties, I think moving to a more consistent model, our Racing Integrity Commission introduced a new penalties framework early last spring, and that is working to great effect. I think for me, the real need will be to step up those penalties on big races, because jockeys, while in the bread and butter races, are complying largely, the behaviours have changed. When there's big money up for grabs, I think there needs to be stronger deterrence.
There's a lot of talk about coverage of racing, and we're lucky here in Australia. We get really good coverage from .com and Sky, but there is a frustration with Sky's coverage because they have so much racing, and we've seen it in Victoria. It's been a big talking point about split screens, and I've noticed watching your premium days, I've been frustrated sitting at home watching the massive Group 1 race and the thrill and the excitement. We've got to go to the next at Nowra, or we've got to go, not Nowra, but a New South Wales meeting. Is that a sense of frustration for you as well? From someone who has spent such a long time working at Sky and building up Sky, is there things trying to be done to ensure that your biggest races get the deserved coverage post and pre-race as well?
Yeah, well, there is a lot of coverage of racing, Michael, in Australia, which is, in one hand, good for the punter. It's also frustrating for the punter that we don't have a more seamless vision offer. And you look at, for example, Melbourne Cup week, you go through so many channels to find the races you're looking for. Then it comes to the specific coverage, and we're a very strong advocate that during carnivals we should have a true free-to-air showcase, which the Seven Network is wonderfully providing for us this winter. But what is happening on the Sky Showcase is not a showcase when a Group 1 gets cut away for a provincial venue interstate. It's just not a balanced and reasonable approach, so it's been disappointing. When you want to champion those great moments, I know it's a similar frustration for the Victorian industry as well. And we need to do better on vision in Australia. I'm saying that from a customer perspective. It's not balanced, and I don't think it's reasonable and fair in the right times of year.
How can we fix it, Brendan?
I think there needs to be some very senior powwows between the major states on how we can improve racing vision, particularly, as I say, from a customer perspective, not just from a PRA perspective.
Brendan, always good to catch up, mate. Enjoy Stradbroke Day. We're very disappointed we can't be there, but we're going to be watching on with great anticipation and excitement for one of the biggest days up north. And Queensland racing at the moment, it is flying from everyone you speak to and everything you see. So well done.
No, thank you, Michael. It'll be a gorgeous 21 or 22 degrees sunny day. So where would you rather be than winter?
Don't rub it in. Don't rub it in.